Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Prosecutors have unsealed the autopsy of Celeste Rivas Hernandez, and what it describes is brutal. 2 stab wounds to the torso, a perforated liver, her arms and legs severed, blue plastic fragments embedded in the cut surfaces. Her remains weighed 71 pounds after months in the trunk of a Tesla. And in a courtroom, prosecutors reveal that David Anthony Burke's devices contain what they called a significant amount of certain types of material that I don't want to say on YouTube because it will flag us immediately. You can guess what that might involve. There's kids in it, buried inside 40 terabytes of digital evidence pulled from his phone, computer, and iCloud for months. Police asked whether there was enough to prove this case. The question now is whether the defense has any room left. Joining me and Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent for the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Robin's here, and also retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer to help us break all of this down. This is some pretty dark stuff, guys. Jennifer, the autopsy describes 2 stab wounds, 1 perforated Celeste's liver, the other damaging the ribs, both with smooth edges from a sharp instrument. What do these wound characteristics tell you about what took place between that girl and somebody?
Well, it tells me a lot. This is brutal force to penetrate a rib, brutal force going into the liver. I have to say, I was really surprised that the liver would have even been sort of intact, or that they could have made those determinations with the degradation of the body that would have happened in that front. But this is violent, purposeful, no hesitation. Yeah.
You know, Jen, you were one of the proponents early on that this was not an accident of a panic exhalation. You know, like some of us, including me, I even said yesterday on the show, you know, I retracted the fact that I thought it was just stupid things happening, stupid people doing stupid 20-year-old and teenage things that escalated, and there's a cover-up. But you called it early on. What were some of the signs that you saw earlier on that said, no, this is much worse than this? It's much darker than we think it is.
The number one sign was my belief from the beginning, that despite detractors, that she was dismembered. I knew there was no way to get her in that frunk. At 110 pounds, I know she was found at only 70 pounds, but that was after, you know, months of you know, melting away.
Cooking, yeah.
Unfortunately. So I knew from that, you do not have the capacity to literally remove at near the joints, the arms, and dismember somebody. That is not something that someone does because of an accident, ever. So that told me right there that this was going to be something very intentional.
Yeah, because even, and we're saying this too, totally agree, because even if it was a panic escalation where you're like, oh crap, we got to get rid of the body, the amount of time to do just what you said, to take things apart like that, it's time, if ever, effort. And as a prefrontal lobe is fully flooded back out again after about 20, 30 minutes, reason should start coming into play before you're even done. And then you should start making other decisions. But you caught that early, so really good job.
Yeah, you were right 100% of the time on this one. As I think a lot of us thought, you know, maybe it's something not as, but you called it from day one, 1,000% on this, Jen. Drugs also found in her body, benzodiazepines and other things apparently in there, saying that was not the cause of death, but she was only 14. What are the presence of the drugs? What does that tell you? Does it tell you anything other than she was around a lot of people that were doing things they shouldn't be doing?
It told me a lot, Tony, and this is why. First of all, they said methamphetamine or possibly MDMA, you know, very upper. And then they describe the depressants, the benzodiazepines. When you add those together, that is somebody that is partaking in huge, huge highs. And to quell the crash, they have to take these downers to bring it down slowly because it's so big. So this tells me that only 14, this is heavy, heavy, hard drugs. Those benzodiazepines have half-lives. They don't leave you. This tells me a pattern of really egregious drug use that would have been practiced in and around her and that they provided for her. It's really sick.
Do you think that the drug use here, because we obviously have it in her autopsy, one has to assume that other folks around were probably doing the same sort of things. How might that have influenced some of the behavior here in terms of what David is accused of doing and who knows who else was involved in this in some way, shape, or form? How much do you think drugs played a part in this, considering just how sloppy and stupid so much of this seems to have been?
Yeah, no, great question. And out of all the drugs that I've dealt with people on, there is nothing worse than methamphetamine. Nothing. I have seen people jump from 2 to 3 story balconies to escape us when we came in after them. We did just fine, by the way. They landed, moved on. I've seen a woman who had 3 kids at home begging, just, you know, like my arms and just begging me on her hands and knees to please give me some of the stash we raided. Please, please, just out of her mind. And the sexual component of methamphetamine makes people absolutely animalistic, ferocious in their sexual drive. So you add all of this together, I'm not at all surprised.
What do you think likelihood this is going to be the only person charged, or what do you think about more? And part of that is, how many people, or do you think there's people that flipped that gave this information? Do you think they got it all from digital combination? And again, back to, do you think there's going to be more charges against others?
Well, you know, back to the beginning, right? Because Tony, you have covered this so well from the beginning. I said the digital trail will be his demise. And the reason I said that is because he lived a life in the digital world. I've got this great clip where he just talks about that, how he doesn't even really intersect with people personally very much. His life is on a computer. And so you knew that this was coming, at least I believed it would be coming. And so because of that, it's going to reduce, right, the people likely maybe charged and involved, at least with the sexual exploitation images. I'll say it that way, on the computer. But when it comes to what happened here, I promise you, he did not do this alone.
Right.
This dismemberment just didn't happen on a whim. Other people were there. Other people knew about it. Those people are definitely in jeopardy for being charged. And they're going to try to take the lowest hanging fruit in terms of who they let cooperate.
One of the pieces of fruit that they're trying to probably identify right now, or probably honestly already have, would be the people who have their DNA on the bag that that she was in the frunk, or the bags that she was in the frunk. I know they swabbed them. They have not revealed what they found or anything of that nature, but if it's as sloppy as some of these other pieces have been, one would guess they may find DNA there. If they do find DNA there and they match it to someone, maybe it's David, maybe it's somebody else. Those would, I guess, be the low-hanging fruit that could tell the story of what happened here. And maybe they'll be the ones that are still walking free at some point. I mean, in a case like this, where do you think this goes? Is this something where they're going to give immunity to some people, even though they were involved in some pretty dark stuff? Or is it going to come with strings of, yeah, you're not going to go away for the rest of your life, but you're going to get something here and you need to testify, or you're getting the rest of your life? Where do you think that's going to fall for any other folks who may be in the ecosystem that have some responsibility here, either of the act of the actual death itself or in the covering up of the act?
Well, the number one thing they're going to look at, meaning law enforcement and investigators, is who can they go after that had knowledge but maybe didn't even participate? Uh-huh. You know, and in other words, for them to give them the roadmap, how did this all happen? What was the, you know, we know the likely motive now. We've heard that out of their mouths. But how did it happen? How did she get so angry that she was going to go to authorities? What transpired to get them, if it happens to be in San Bernardino County, which it seems likely? How did this all come together? How big and egregious was the plan? So, Tony, they will start with the people that have the least amount of exposure in terms of actually being there. And mm-hmm. if you can't get anybody that fills those shoes, then I think they will go for somebody that was there. But no way do they get full immunity. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
You know, we talked a lot the other day, not just on this case, but so many cases that we've been covering lately. Parents, you know, we're not necessarily her parents, which, you know, we're covering, but his parents. Do you think there's going to be any kind of culpability with their involvement, not involvement, or just the fact that there seems to be enough of a connection, especially when shifting things to their names after arrests and things like that?
Well, you know, this is the thing. The parents were in Texas. I don't think parents were intimately at all involved in his life once he left. You know, this is the thing about David that is different from a lot of criminals that, and he, if he's guilty of this, is very much so a criminal.
Sure.
But he isn't from the normal demographic, right? He didn't grow up poor. He didn't grow up disadvantaged. He didn't grow up in a drug home. He grew up in quite the opposite of that. And so I find it very interesting, right, that no matter how he was raised and educated, he was very educated. I don't know if you've ever heard him speak. He actually is a very intellectual speaker. His songwriting, while it's very dark, it's mm-hmm. also very thoughtful, meaning it's not just, you know, Spot jumped over the fence. It's actually pretty deep.
It's not money, bitches, money, bitches, money, bitches. You see, in you know, it isn't. I mean, there is some depth to it. I mean, there really is. But yeah, you're exactly right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I got to throw that in there.
Spot jumped over the fence is so bad. Thank you for chiming in with the point I was trying
Spot
to make.
Spot jumped over the fence to get his money and bitches, yo.
You know, and to that, what I'm curious about, you know, so I, because you've covered so many cases with so many dark people, so many dark themes, and he was so young. And to both your points, you know, he's got this side to him that is a deep thinker and deep intellectual, but so much dark themes. Do you think, Jen, that that's a nature and nurture coming together for all those dark themes and how they manifested?
You know, I've been convinced over the years of working these kinds of cases and studying these kinds of cases that there are some people that are truly just bad. There's just some, you know, it's so that would be the nature argument, right? There's right. some just no matter how they're brought up, no matter how loved they are, they're just bad. But mm-hmm. I think the greater majority aren't, and they're made, they're created into the monsters they become. I think that's the huge majority of at least what I've seen. In this one, by all accounts, you know, it was a very normal, if not above, much above normal upbringing, right? Kind of like Goldberger. Big house. He had a mother who absolutely adored him, a father who worked hard, sisters who were very accomplished. I think he's just a bad seed. Right. Maybe we can get here.
Well, you look at the recipe here. You got someone who's in his early 20s, late teens when this stuff is going on. Someone who, you know, by these sort of accounts, you know, he suddenly has this money, suddenly has this attention, suddenly has this fame, starts believing his own shit is what I'm kind of seeing here. Almost, you know, I mean, his videos, you know, they're deep, quote unquote. And his music is a bit deeper than the average. But I'm just wondering if that played into it, if it ended up becoming this perfect storm of he's at that age where they're already thinking, you know, I'm unstoppable. You start to believe some of your own bullshit, especially if you're being fed it by the people around you. And then you mix a bunch of drugs into that equation. And I'm just wondering how much of that recipe is what created this, where once everybody's a little more sober and a little more older and they look back going, who the fuck was that? And I mean, I wonder if David's doing that about himself now, that maybe he's had some time to sober up and see what was going on at that moment in his life. I don't know. I'm just wondering how much of not that it's a defense, but how much of the reasoning here we're going to hear of drugs made me do it, and the rest is, you know, part of the recipe at that perfect storm point in life.
Before you chime in on that, Jen, is I definitely want that. I want to add to this, though. I don't think we should forget, though, because I totally think all those things are relevant, Tony. She was 11. She was targeted as an underage girl as well. And so what came first here, the drugs or that? So in other words, a chicken or the egg on this one. So I think his deviant mind was already potentially brewing before all this as well. And that's what I want to add into your question for Jen.
Oh, yeah. Well, my answer is strongly Occam's razor. This is a child pervert, predator, love little girls. Yes. Absolutely.
Yep.
That is the seed. That's the problem. The problem isn't drugs. The problem isn't music. The problem isn't his culture. The problem isn't his computer. The problem was, and this is how I was pointed out, for people who are heterosexual and attracted to people who are adults, you know, that are your same age, whatever. Mm-hmm. You like 15-year-olds, as opposed to a 15-year-old that likes 3-year-olds, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever age, and you like these little ones.
Yeah.
Never not like little ones, okay? Yeah. Not little ones is never going to excite you. And does that make sense? So once you like that, the normal, somebody your own age, that is never going to thrill you. That's never going to provide what you're looking for.
And is this what you're saying too, Jen? Is like he started broken because of his love of underage, and then all these other things were kerosene on that fire.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Born broken.
Yep.
And then all of this happened because of that. Remember, she was going to narc him out.
It gave him the tools to be worse.
Well, it's so, I mean, and the stupidity here with so much of it is just mind-boggling. I mean, he clearly doesn't think there's anything wrong with this, or that he's invincible enough that no one's ever going to catch him with what he's doing. With the significant amount of CSAM material that they found on his device, I'm going to guess a lot of it's her, but who knows? I don't know the answer.
And his
to that.
Circle and his entourage too. I mean, think about it. He's like, got a tight circle of people. So this is where, you know, Jen's saying, you know, I'm just curious because, you know, did they make the charges to flush more out, or did they get to charges because some already flipped? But this whole group seemed to think this was okay.
Yeah, and that's where the drugs come in, though. That's why I will agree with you that haze covers over, and now all of a sudden it's seemingly okay in their mind. And if it's not, I think I'll just take another hit of meth.
Then just keep going. Yeah. Yeah. Creepy, dark.
This is one of the worst ones we've covered.
Yeah. I mean, it went from being like, maybe this isn't horrible, to like, oh my God, this is one of the worst we've heard about. Yeah.
Maybe it's an accident to, oh my God, you're the worst ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube on this segment. We'd love for you to weigh in, and we'll continue that conversation there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.